Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Hey, everybody out there. I want to welcome my listening audience and those listening in the archives. Welcome to another edition of Black by Color Only. I am your host, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, and hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And once again, you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not accept character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, straw man arguments, insults, things of that sort. It will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. And in other words, you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be reasonable and agreeable comments in your questions. And like I said, I hope you all are doing well. Hope you all are feeling better than I am right now. I'm not feeling 100% right now. I'm not, overly sick or anything like that, just still suffering from my allergies, still suffering a bit from the allergies and whatever, I've never been attacked this hard with the allergies, but I'm better. I'm a lot better than I was last Saturday, and this is something else. And a few months ago, I had caught COVID, and I said I will never wish that on my worst enemy. Well, I got something else I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, and that's this, these allergies, nose running like water and the sneezing and everything like that. It can be a bit, it can make life a bit miserable, but hey, just glad to be alive and kicking on this day. And, just wanted to go off and, I just want to monologue with my audience right now. It is getting extremely, extremely easy to do a program now, because things just seem to be, life seems to be happening at light speed, And I think I said this on last week's program, every time you look up, you know, there's no shortage of topics to do for a radio program. Sometimes a week might be slow and you have to make up something. Well, not make up the story, but you had to pick something to, you know, it's really a bit hard to dig for a subject when things are not happening like they are now. But right now, everything is just happening at light speed. And it gets to a point where, in a way, you get a little frustrated. And when I say frustrated, I don't mean angry or bent out of shape. It's like, oh, my gosh, I got so much to talk about. I got so much to talk about and so little time. And you have to choose, you know, what you have to talk about and make sure you arrange it in a certain order and whatever, and relevance to today and things of that sort. And I got three things I want to talk about today. And you all might not be surprised about what I'm going to talk about today. Now, I had these three subjects to talk about. Well, it's about three or four subjects. And I already had them pretty much laid out. And I said, I'm going to talk about these subjects today. And then, you know, I had the nerve to get on YouTube. And I was watching another video. And I said, wow, that sounds like something I should talk about too. And I say, you know what, I'll talk about that at a later date. But these other subjects that I already had laid out, I'm going to talk about those today. We all know about, basically what I'm going to talk about is the police interaction with certain people this past week. And, of course, the hypocrisy of those on the left and those who say they care about black lives, but they basically care more about the dollars that come from the black lives. You know, one Patrice Kahn colors. And I think it's kind of, I don't know the word to say, but I think it's no coincidence that her middle name is Kahn. Now, it's spelled K-H-A-N, but it sounds like the C-O-N, which I think she really is. She's a Kahn. And she, oh boy, oh man. Of course, you all know that she's getting some flack from people because she just recently purchased a $1.4 million estate in California. And I didn't know this until a couple of days later that she had also purchased three other properties in addition to this one, and she's looking at another one in the Bahamas. And I think it was last week I was telling my wife, I said, you know what, the apostles of blackness, they are just sitting by waiting for the next event to happen so that their money train can start rolling again and they can start reaping, you know, reaping those delicious dollars. And probably no sooner had I said that then the Dante Wright incident happened. And when that happened, I'm sitting there shaking my head like, man, I hate being right sometimes. And but let me get back to Miss Colors. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But you all know now, I keep hearing people throwing out this this figure of $90 million that Black Lives Matter reaped last year. Now, I heard another story that in 6 months last year, they raised $10 billion in just 6 months, which is incredible. And when this news came out that Ms. Colors had, you know, purchase this property, of course, you know, not common sense, they're going to be like, okay, she purchased these properties. So how come none of that money is going into the black neighborhoods? I mean, because your organization is called Black Lives Matter, which means your organization should be caring about black people. but the black communities are not seeing this money. Michael Brown's mother, not mother, but his father got out. He was talking about it. And then, you know, Tamir Rice's mother was saying that these people, they just come out here and they make money off of the tragedies of our children, but we don't see any of that money going into the communities. You know, nobody's seen that money going into the communities to help raise scholarships or help to clean up the communities or anything like that. It just seems like the money goes to one of two places. It goes to the favorite candidates of the leaders of Black Lives Matter, and also goes into their pockets. Now, I could be wrong. I don't think I am, but I could be wrong. Maybe she got it some other way. And, you know, she wanted to come up and say, well, I got other things that are helping me raise this money and everything and stuff like this, and that's how I'm able to buy these properties. And now the reason why I tend not to believe her is because this seems to be a common excuse when people reap in a lot of money and the money doesn't go towards what they say it's going to go to, but these people are also buying up, you know, Gucci bags and mansions and things and nice cars and things like that. That seems to be a common excuse. Oh, I got other deals. I got investments, stuff like that, you know. And that's why I tend not to believe her, because it's a common excuse when people start pointing out, saying, wait a minute, this, but that, you know. And I listen to the, and now here's the thing too. Whenever these people, you know, get their, you know, buy their properties or whatever, it's never in a black neighborhood. Never in a black neighborhood. Look at the Obamas. I don't think Jay-Z and Beyonce, they don't live in a black neighborhood. And a lot of these people, when they get this money and they buy their big, they not going to a black neighborhood. And that's the thing with Miss Colors. She lives in a neighborhood that is just a little less than 2% black. But hey, Black Lives Matter. Black dollars matter, you mean. And you know what, I might just make a sign and say Black Dollars Matter, and the bar where it says dollars, I'll probably make it green or something like that. I'll probably do something like that. But this is so true. And see, it doesn't surprise me. This really doesn't surprise me. Because you see this happen all the time. We've seen it with Jesse Jackson. We've seen it with Al Sharpton. We've seen it with a lot of these hooligans who say they care about the black community. And I'm trying to pull up this quote by Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington is one of my favorite historical figures. And he made a lot of quotes in his life that are just pure common sense. Just pure common sense. And I was pleased to, I thought the only book he had written was Up From Slavery. I found out that he authored 4 books. And if you go to Amazon and you have a, you know, you got a Kindle or whatever, you can buy all 4 books for $1.99. It comes in a package, $1.99 on Amazon. And he made one of the best quotes I think I've ever heard in my life. And I've shared this quote on my Facebook page and, you know, things like that. And I've actually had people say, Booker T. Washington didn't say that. He didn't say that. That's wrong. Because, you know, a lot of people in a lot of members of the Apostles of Blackness, they
a lot of these people they hold as heroes, they really don't know that much about them. They just hold them to be heroes because they're popular and they're black. And to hear Booker T. Washington say something that goes against their rhetoric, instead of saying, oh, Booker T. Washington said that, they'll say, no, he didn't say that. That's wrong. That's wrong. But this is what he said. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. This is the reason why when it seems like the racist fires are dying down and then someone comes and stirs up those fires again, that's why that happens, because these guys, they're not getting paid. And I knew sometime this year, something was going to happen, and I'm not surprised. I knew something was going to happen that'll get that money wagon rolling for them. The George Floyd saga is almost over, and once the verdict is meted out in case, they'll start to die down a little bit. So they had to get their roll on so they can get paid. And see, you know, I want to say congratulations to Patrice Cullors because she has joined the ranks of the race hustlers, because I believe that is all that she is, a race hustler. Now, if a lot of that money that they had, that Black Lives Matter had gotten, was going to these neighborhoods to help clean up black neighborhoods and whatever and stuff like that, and Patrice was buying her a $1 million estate, I wouldn't have anything to say about it. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But the problem is you raised $10 billion. None of this money has gone to the black communities. Why is that? And that's the question that a lot of people need to be asking Ms. Cullors. Where is this money going to? And some people are starting to question her about it. Don't get me wrong. But it needs to be as loud a voice as what you hear when a black person gets gunned down by a white cop. It needs to be that loud. And a lot of her supporters, they just look the other way, basically. Some of them are starting to wake up, though. Some of them are starting to wake up. But it's still too many of them who are, you know, they decided to stick their heads in the sand and say, there's nothing to see here. It's something, and she needs to be held accountable for that. She does. And see, this is the thing. And you all, please excuse my language, but you got these idiots who still support the cause of Black Lives Matter. And a lot of the people who support Black Lives Matter, they're living paycheck to paycheck. Some of these people would like to live in a house, but they can't. But they'll send their dollars to Black Lives Matter, even though the cover has been yanked off of Miss Give That Organization money. People, to me, this is the essence of stupidity. This is the essence of stupidity. You see the wrong that's going on, but you still want to support it. You know better, but you still don't want to do better. Saying, okay, you're at a road, the bridge is out, and between you and the other side of that bridge is a raging river. Now, you know good well that not even the Incredible Hulk can fight against a raging river. And you still say, I'm just going to jump over. By chance, I just might make it across. But you jump in, and before you can get even one stroke into the water, to me, that's stupidity. You know better. I'm gonna have to make a copy of this quote and put it in a frame and put it up on my wall so I can, you know, look at it every day. But Booker T. Washington, 110 years ago, and he describes to a T the race hustlers of today. Another person to look at, a man named Manning Johnson, who wrote a book called, well, a pamphlet called Color Communism and Common Sense. And once again, their writing seemed to wax prophetic when you look at situations of today. Now, this week we had several incidents that happened this week, and one involved. Let me get here. Let me do this right. One involved a lieutenant in Virginia. Not too far from, Petersburg. It's an area I'm somewhat familiar with, Richmond, because every time I go to Washington, D.C., I take 85 North, and right at Petersburg, 85 North converges into 95 North. And 95 takes you to Washington, D.C., and all them eventually takes you to New York, you know, places like that. But every time I travel on 85, you know, it merges into 95, and that continues all the way up to the state of Maine. And I'm quite familiar with Petersburg because it's not too far from Richmond. And matter of fact, I call Petersburg and Richmond the twin cities, which they're not twin cities, but excuse me, they're so close together. And the wrong story. I pulled up the wrong story. Let me get this right. Hold on, folks. Okay. And I'm sorry I didn't put the links in the chat room or whatever. You can probably look it up for yourself. Just Google it. This has to do with a lieutenant, an Army lieutenant being stopped in Virginia and his encounter with the police officer. And I heard the sound bites of this encounter. And let me tell you all something. Both the driver and the police officer were acting like idiots. Now, you might disagree with me. That's fine. That's fine. But both of them were acting like idiots. Because, the lieutenant, you know, he's driving along and whatever, and the police officer, you know, turns on his lights. And the lieutenant, you know, he wanted to go to a well-lit area. He didn't just want to stop on the side of the road because if you've driven in certain parts of Virginia, especially around Petersburg and all that area, like When I drive on 85, then almost the entire course of Interstate 85 is wooded. And they have little I don't know what you call it, rivulets or whatever. I call it little cuts in the median, because the median is heavily forested. The median between the north and the southbound lanes, and police officers like to hide in that little cut there. And when you're driving through Interstate 85 at nighttime, this is not where the lieutenant was caught, but I'm just giving this as an example. But when you're driving through Interstate 85 at nighttime, it is pitch dark. And those police officers love to hide in that cut, because if someone comes speeding through there, oh, they got them a victim. And let me tell you something. You do not want to be caught by a Virginia State Trooper. Virginia State Troopers are probably some of the fiercest police officers in the country, if that's a correct term to use. They don't play. And if you got North Carolina tags or Maryland tags on your car, oh boy, they salivate at that chance. This guy gets pulled over, and he stopped at this gas station, well-lit area, and the police officer is already on his case, just yelling out, "Get out the car! Get out the car! Get out the car!" Now, my thing is this. Homie is a little aggressive there. He's a little too aggressive. Now, they said they were pulling him over because he didn't have his license plate, which his tag was pasted to the back of his back window. I think the lieutenant had just bought the vehicle, so it was a temporary plate. So he pasted it in his back window. And the officer said that's what they were pulling him over for, you know. But he was acting a little bit aggressive. And his partner who was with him was like, yo, dude, please get out of the car. Just get out the car. Come on. You know, because he was like, you know, hey, my partner here is kind of spooky, you know, kind of crazy. But the guy in the car is like, what did I do, officer? He was trying to sound all innocent, trying to sound all sugary. This is a lieutenant. Did I do? What did I do? I don't understand. What did I? And now you're not going to tell me if our lieutenants are as sugary as this guy sounded, our military's in a lot of trouble. But really, I think the reason why the lieutenant was talking like that, because he knew this was going to be an opportunity, because he was sitting there trying to live stream the whole thing, because, you know, he could probably get his 15 minutes of fame and say, look at what this white cop did, which the cop who was accosting him was not white. He was Hispanic. I think the driver was being dramatic, because he wanted this to go nationwide. Say, look, I'm another black person being accosted for no reason by a white police officer. And I really believe that's the reason why he was like, what did I do? I don't understand. I'm scared. And you know, the police officer said, yeah, you ought to be scared. Folks, if you're a police officer, you shouldn't be saying anything like that. You ought to be scared. That's not proper police procedure. And they finally got the guy out and whatever. And they, you know, when the incident was over, he wasn't charged with anything. He just went on his way. And I'm sitting there like, well, why did the police officer get so aggressive with him like that? It was no reason. But of course, he ended up getting fired, which I think he should have been. I think he should have been, you know, because one of the reasons why I'm finding it harder to really support the police, which I still support them, but I find it harder to support them is because some of these police officers, they need an attitude check. They do. Some of them, they know they got that taser, they got that sidearm, they got that nightstick on their hip, and they think they're just big stuff, and they think they can talk to you any old kind of way, and you're just supposed to accept it. Now, on the other hand, if the police officer is saying, you need to get out of the car, then you need to get out of the car. Because, to be honest with you, I don't think a large percentage of your police officers are not looking to kill somebody. All you have to do is comply. Yeah, he's aggressive and whatever and things like that. And if you got a problem with that, you can fight that in court. Just comply with the police. Now, I've been pulled over on several occasions by police officers. And I can only remember one time I was told to get out the car. I got out the car. I didn't like it, but I did get out the car. And he asked me for my ID. I showed him my ID. And I think this police officer that told me to get out the car, he may have been a little aggressive. He may have, but after that, nothing. Boom. Okay, going home. But most of the time when I get pulled over by the police, they don't ask me to come out the car. And to all you black people out there who are always saying, that police officer, he had his hand on his gun. I've never had a police officer have their hand on their gun when they pulled me over. Never. And see, this is my problem with the apostles of blackness. They act like they speak for all of us, like they represent us. I'm a representative of the black race. No, you're not, because you're not my representative. Who died and made you boat captain? You don't speak for me. And I do believe that a lot of these officers are overly aggressive. And I do believe there needs to be some reform. I'm not saying a whole across-the-board reform, no. I believe there needs to be some reform in our police officers. And I think, it needs to be stated that you're a police officer, you're a public servant. That means you're not to go out here and act like a pure idiot. Yeah, you got that sidearm and that taser and that nightstick and whatever. You got that nice shiny badge. But keep in mind that you have to answer to a higher power when you go out there and you do your job. And I believe in this instance, it was enough of the blame to go around. Just comply with the police officer. The police officer shouldn't have been as aggressive as he was. But still, I'm scared. I'm scared. Because, a lot of us black people, we bought into the lie that, police officers, they see that we're black. They're going to just shoot us. But if you were white, oh, yeah, go ahead. You're my buddy. Yeah, go ahead. And that's a myth. But then we had the incident involving Daunte Wright. Daunte Wright. And I think this happened on Sunday, if I'm correct. Daunte Wright. Daunte Wright, 20-year-old guy, he gets pulled over because they have some warrants for his arrest. And I forgot what it was that they had the warrants for, the charges. And so they took him out of the car. He got out of the car. I think they're trying to handcuff him or something. And he struggles out of the police, goes back into the car. And the lady officer, I think her name was Officer Potter, I think it was, she pulls out what she thinks is a taser. And she yells, taser, taser, because Dante Wright is struggling with the cops and whatever. And she yells, taser, taser, taser. And she fires it and realizes that she fired not a taser, but her sidearm, hit Dante in the chest, and he ended up dying. Now, I watched the video once again, and even though the police officer was wrong for what she did, it was an accident. It was an accident. And you got some people, now, you might disagree with me, but some people are saying, well, she should do some time in jail. I don't think she should do time in jail. I really don't. Yes, it was a tragedy. A life was taken as a result of her mistake, but I don't think she should do jail time. And some people say it's likely she's going to do some time in jail. I don't think she should. She quit the police force. I think that's enough, because she probably would have been fired, which that would have been the right action to do. But I don't think she deserves jail time, because I really do think that she feels terrible about what happened. Now, some people are like, well, you know, taser, gun, you know, you should be able to tell the difference. And she was on the police, she's been on the police force for 26 years, and she should have known better. Yeah, but you still make mistakes. And that was, I kind of think that was in the heat of the moment, and maybe she didn't realize that she had the gun instead of her taser. And some people say, well, she should know. Well, yeah, she probably should have known. She should have probably had better training or whatever, but it was still an accident. And I'm not saying, oh, well, it's an accident, you know, because I don't believe Dante Wright deserved to die. Now, but here's the thing, though. Dante Wright should have complied with the police. I don't care if that woman made a mistake or whatever. He should have complied. He would be alive today. And this is the problem when we have an incident like this. This is the main problem. Most of the time, these people do not comply. They don't comply with the police. If the police officer is wrong for detaining you or whatever, you can fight that off in court. But you're going to do something stupid, police. And once again, this situation, it's a little bit of blame that can go around. And as with the first incident that I described, along with this one, people want to make it like these incidents happened because the drivers were black. And it was not because they were black. Now, I'm definitely sure it wasn't black with because the lieutenant was black, because he was driving at nighttime. Ain't no way they could have seen if he was black or white. And they said one of the things was that his tint on his windows was too dark. Now, you can tell if he was black or white if his tint was too dark. So this had nothing to do with the color of their skin. And our good old friends at The Root, as long as we have a website called TheRoot.com, I should have no trouble doing a radio program, because these people at The Root are pure stupid. Let me just read this article. Dante and the debt collectors, how the cops became robbers. On Sunday, April 11, 20-year-old Dante Wright was driving with his girlfriend in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, when an armed posse under the color and authority of the law recognized the fact that he hadn't paid for a sticker on his license plate. I've been pulled over 2 times for not having a sticker on my license plate. Both times I cooperated with the cops, and both times they let me off without a ticket. But Dante and his girlfriend, they were carrying a bunch of muffins and other goodies to their grandparents. They were innocent. They didn't do anything wrong. And these evil wolves of policemen want to pull them over. But anyway, after stopping Wright for not having the decal that permitted him to drive down their streets, the weapon-wielding money extraction team, that's how they described the police, discovered that Wright also owed $128 for a victimless crime in 2019. I don't know what that crime was. And another $188 for a 2020 victimless crime that caused no harm to a single soul. The law, that does not mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to have a victim to break the law. And, you know, you can kind of sense where this article is going. But because the gun toters had sworn an oath to imprison anyone who owed money for not paying money, the officers attempted to place him in chains until he paid more money. Now, they're not even describing what they were pulling him over for. I think one of them had to do with an aggravated assault or something. He had a warrant for that. He failed to show up in court. And there is not an oath where police are swearing an oath to imprison anyone who owes money. Like I said, I've been pulled over 2 times for not having the proper sticker on my license plate. And both times, the police let me off with only a warning. I didn't even get a ticket because I broke the law. I didn't go to prison. And Dante wouldn't have gone to prison because he didn't have a sticker on his license plate. See, these people are just trying to be, they're trying to be incendiary. But anyway, less than a year earlier, a similar gang killed a man over $20 after placing him in the same kinds of chains. Okay, now see, now they're talking about the George Floyd incident. They said a similar gang killed a man over $20. Folks, oh boy, I tell you. George Floyd was not killed because he passed a counterfeit $20 bill. That is not why George Floyd died. But that's how they'll tell you. Oh, he was killed for passing a $20. No. He was accosted because the store that he had just been in, the cashier was like, hey, wait a minute, this is a $20 bill. This is a counterfeit $20 bill. So he called the police. The police find George Floyd, and that's why he was accosted. He wasn't killed. The police didn't come there and say, hey, you passed a counterfeit $20 bill? Yes, officer. Bang, 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 you're dead. That's not what happened. And see, once again, they're leaving out certain points in this article to get you to believe a certain way. Oh, George Floyd, he was killed all because of a counterfeit $20 bill? No, that's not why he was killed. Now, given it wasn't a good look for that officer, Officer Chauvin, to have his knee on George Floyd's neck. Now, I've seen another angle of that, and Officer Chauvin's knee was actually in the small, not the small, but on his shoulder blade, his right shoulder blade. And there are conflicting reports. Some say he died of suffocation. Others say he had a fatal dose of fentanyl in his system. And even before George Floyd was put to the ground and had the knee in his back, he was saying he couldn't breathe. And people are trying to say there's a part in the tape that says that, you know, he was saying he took too many drugs. Now, I listened to that part, and I'm like, I don't know if that sounds like that. He could have said that. I don't know. But Dante, clearly not wanting to die, nobody had threatened to kill Dante, jumped back in the car. They were not going to kill him. During an ensuing struggle, Kim Potter, one of the debt collector's posse, they use an incendiary language again, pulled out a device she carries that is specifically designed to kill people. Potter, who was professionally trained to use the instrument of death, didn't need it. She also carried a substance that poisoned a person's skin and another device that sent enough voltage through a person's body to power 400 refrigerators. That substance that poisoned a person's skin, they're talking about is mace. Now, see, they're using this type of language because they're trying to get a response from the reader. Although she had the option of poisoning or electrocuting Wright for owing money because he owed money when they stopped him for owing money, sounds a little redundant right there, Potter used a machine meant to kill people. So basically what they're saying here is, hey, he's a black guy. Let me get this gun. Bang, bang. And said it worked. She did, folks. I declare to you right now, I do not believe that she meant to kill that boy. She only shot him once. She did not mean to kill that boy. But once again, they want to make it like, oh, they're hunting down black people. It worked. Potter would later claim that she only meant to electrocute, right? No, not electrocute. Tase. People who get hit by a taser do not get electrocuted. Electrocution means the electricity killed you. Drive him to the gang's headquarters and lock him in a cage until he dished out a week's pay for the victimless crimes. He broke the law. Potter's superiors, I mean, what are they supposed to do? Okay, oh, he's getting into his car. Let's let him drive off. Folks, come on now. Come on. Confirmed that she didn't mean to use the killing machine, the gun, just say the gun. According to them, it was just an accident that anyone could make who had 26 years of experience of using the deadliest weapons every day. Folks, I don't care how long you're in a profession, mistakes can still be made. Apparently, the so-called journalists at the root don't realize this. As a dead person, the 20-year-old debt defaulter no longer has a past due bill with the armed money collection squad protecting the fair residents of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, from the loss of $314. So they're saying that he got killed over $314. That's what they're saying. His death was caused by that. It was an accident. It was an accident. And I know people going, oh, no, you know, if it was a white person, he wouldn't have gotten shot. How do you know? Give me an example where, you know, that can compare to this, of a white person not getting shot. You can't. So stop it with the rhetoric. Dante's story is not an outlier. Every day, the people who are paid to protect us from crime engage in the practice of debt collection. They're law enforcement officers. You break a law, you got to pay a debt. There you go. Furthermore, the majority of this money extraction scheme falls on the backs of black and brown Americans. Oh, yeah, no white people ever have to pay back their debts. While it is possible to prove how many cops are racist, it is quite simple to prove that the system of policing results in the disproportionate deaths and brutality inflicted upon black bodies. I'm pausing now because the stupidity in this article has just gotten me rattled right now. I think there's a word for a system that's racist. Nothing to do with his race. As if black people are the only ones who are in debt. The Stanford Open Policing Project, the largest police stop data collection study ever, found that black drivers were about 20% more likely to be stopped than white drivers relative to their share of the residential population and 1.5 to 2 times more likely to be searched. In all my years of living, I have never been searched by a police officer. Never, not one time. And I'm about as black as they come. This nationwide phenomenon persists despite the fact that white drivers are more likely to be carrying drugs, guns, or other illegal contraband. And where you get that statistic from? And those increased interaction with police by black and brown citizens account for higher rates of police brutality. It is entirely possible that police don't intend to kill more black people. Maybe they truly just intend to stop, search, and arrest more black people, and the shooting black people in the face part is just an unintended side effect. Oh, boy, these people are stupid. These people are stupid. Really? So if a black person commits a crime, just let them go. Nah. That's basically what they're saying in so many words. Just let them go because they're black. Eh. They went through slavery. They went through Jim Crow. Just let them go. I know he just murdered about 10 people in a family, you know, but hey, you know, Jim Crow, slavery, let them go. Oh, boy. If I continue reading this article, I feel like my IQ is going to go down a little bit more. It says, perhaps the police aren't just violent. Maybe they're violent and lazy. And since they already have black people lined up on the side of the road, why not? Now, anybody who thinks they're going to get any type of critically intelligent rhetoric when they read an article from The Root, you are sadly mistaken. Take Caron Nazario, for instance. Yeah, this is the aforementioned Army lieutenant. The Army veteran had a license tag when he was stopped by Windsor, Virginia police for the egregious crime of not having a license tag. Yeah, you don't have a license tag, they have the right to pull you over. While pepper spraying a man who posed no threat seems outrageous to some, what about the part where cops are so worried about license tags? Not the cops. The other name for a cop is a law enforcement officer. It is the law that you are supposed to always have a license tag on your vehicle. Now, if you break the law enforcement officer has the right to pull you over and give you a ticket or whatever, you know, is supposed to be the result of that. Forget about the resisting part. Eric Garner was choked to death over Lucy's cigarettes. He wasn't choked to death. Regardless of whether he had drugs in his system, George Floyd still had the change from the $20 bill in his pocket when Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck. Thankfully, Rocky Rudolph lived when he was shot for having his windows tinted. Kenneth Jones didn't have his hazard lights on. O'Shea Terry had an expired tag. Then there are these names. And I don't think Kenneth Jones was shot because his windows were tinted. Once again, using incendiary language, 34-year-old Robert DeLon Harris was shot and killed by an Oklahoma State trooper during a traffic stop. A Georgia trooper shot and killed 60-year-old Julian Edward Roosevelt Lewis. What? A Georgia trooper shot and killed 60-year-old Julian Edward Roosevelt Lewis was shot over a burned-out taillight. He wasn't shot because the taillight was out. The cops didn't come out and say, hey, your taillight's out. Bang, bang, bang. Michael Eric Lewis Sr. was killed after a Kern County, California deputy pulled him over for a vehicle code violation. Genoa Clark, 30, had a broken taillight. He spent a week on life support before succumbing to his injuries. I can name others such as Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was not killed because she was black, who was not selling drugs, or Rashard Brooks, who was asleep in his car. But those people don't qualify because the previous list is just some of the unarmed black people who were killed during a stop for a minor traffic infraction in the past 365 days. In a recent editorial, retired Birmingham, Alabama police captain concluded that his department's policy of ticketing and arrest was in effect creating criminals out of people whose only crime was that they were poor. No, they broke the law. They broke the law. I don't hear any of these people crying when this happens to white folks. They only cry when it happens to black folks. But it happens to everyone. And these people were not killed because they had a burned out taillight or their windows were tinted. They were killed because they resisted arrest, put themselves in danger. I mean, this is just stupidity. Anyway, let me get back here. This is just pure stupidity. Now, yeah, I do believe the police have some responsibility. They need self-control. They need to be temperate when they pull people over. Because some, like I said, it's getting harder for me to really support the police, because when you hear incidents like this, but here's one thing I do know that none of these incidents had anything to do with these people being black. Nothing to do with them being black. And you can say that, you can cry it from the rooftops, the mountaintops, wherever, that, you know, these guys were killed because they were black, because we understand that this wouldn't happen to white people. It only happens to black people. And that's a very vague statement, because you don't have any evidence, except people like to use Dylan Roof and say the police took him to Burger King. The police did not take him to Burger King. Hey, Dylan Roof, oh, we're going to take you to jail, but let's stop by Burger King right quick. Yeah, what do you want? You want a Whopper? You want a Whopper meal? Oh, wait a minute. You said two Whopper meals? Okay, give him two Whopper meals. And even if they did do that, that's the only case where you ever heard that happening. But everyone who gets arrested and they're accosted by the police and they're taken to the police station or whatever, the police do buy them something to eat. That's just procedure. But everybody wants to run with, they took him to Burger King. If it was a black person, he wouldn't even be alive. They would have shot him down. I feel the magma rising up within, and my volcano is about to explode. So I'm going to go ahead and do my advertisements right now. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Nation Media, or CNM as the network has been shortened to, is growing again. Airing on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on CNM, because now is the time for this network and his show, American by Design. As before, but with more urgency than ever, American by Design is back with the mellow voice of Bing, and that voice will help keep us all informed about what the Democrats have in store for us and why we have to fight them every step of the way, because socialism is not for us, freedom is. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you'd like to call in, 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I see the callers there. Hey there, Sarge. What's up, dude? I know Sarge is probably chomping at the bit right now, but yeah, I'm going to get to those phone calls. I'm still trying to get this bit, little bit out of me and everything, because I felt like my IQ went down about 20 points reading that article from The Root. For those of you all don't know The Root is a pro-black website where they post articles about, you know, black happenings and everything. And these people are about as racist as they come. And they like to use incendiary language and vague language and stuff like that to push forth a point, to push forth their personal rhetoric instead of abiding by the truth. You know, like I said, you know, they said George Floyd was killed because of $20. No, he was not killed because of $20. Okay. The police didn't come in there and say, George Floyd, you've been declared guilty of passing a counterfeit $20 bill. Boom, boom, boom. They didn't go all Judge Dredd on them, okay? And to be honest with you, even though it's not a good look for Officer Chauvin, I don't think Officer Chauvin had any intentions of killing George Floyd. But, of course, we run with it, you know. You know, we jump to conclusions and you know, we start rioting and whatever and stuff like that. And, you know, I was listening to a radio program. I don't know if you all ever heard of Jesse Lee Peterson. He's a guy I like to listen to. I don't agree with a lot of his points. But, you know, this guy was on his show, and Jesse Lee Peterson was trying to tell, was asking the guy. He said, well, what do you call these people out here rioting and everything and stuff like that? And the caller said, well, they're scared. They're scared. How in the world you going to say you're scared and then you're going to riot, loot, burn down businesses and attack people on the street? That's not scared. And you got a bunch of people with tapioca pudding for brains who will sit there and believe that garbage. How in the world are you going to be scared and burning down people's businesses? I mean, Dante Wright's body didn't even go cold and they were rioting. Jumping to conclusions because they've been lied to with this rhetoric that if Dante Wright was white, he would still be alive. And they think they only do this to black people. And all you had to do is look at the statistics. A lot of people, they listen to LeBron James, who's basically a basketball. He's just a basketball player. They listen to him when he makes a stupid statement. Oh, the police are hunting us down. Every time we step out of our houses, they're hunting us down. But the statistics don't bear that out. Because if the police were hunting us down, I should be dead. I should have been the victim of a policeman's bullet. I'll be 53 in October. And they had every reason to, you know. But you know why I come out of these encounters with the police alive? Because I follow instructions. I don't get all bad mouth with the police. One time I did. But it wasn't as incendiary as some of these other people that I've seen. But, you know, I was, you know, let me just say this. Me and a friend of mine, we were bullhorning. We were preaching on the bullhorn at a popular intersection in Durham. This police officer, he saw us, pulled us over, said we were making too much noise, which it was a lot of traffic. I think the traffic was louder than us bullhorning. And I was like, you mean to tell me you're going to keep us from leaving because of a bullhorn? And a police officer asked us to get out the car, show our ID, boom, boom, boom. You know, it didn't turn into a really big thing. I was a little ticked off. Yeah, I was. And we only encountered that police officer for like 5 minutes. And I was like, wait a minute, you got this traffic out here as loud as, and you're going to, well, basically we were in a parking lot, but he pulled up to where we couldn't leave. And he says because of a noise ordinance. We don't have a noise ordinance. If that's the case, then we shouldn't have any traffic in Durham. But we weren't arrested or accosted or put into handcuffs or anything like that. He let us go or whatever. The next week, we were back to bullhorning again. Police officers didn't pull us over that time. But anyway, but that's the only encounter But I've been pulled over by police officers at least 4 times. And every time it was because I broke the law. But yes, I do believe that there needs to be some reform in our police departments. You can't be a police officer and you're a person with a bad temper, cold demeanor or something like that. You just can't be. And if you are, just do your duty. Boom. Just leave it alone. Okay. But like that, you know, that lieutenant up in Virginia, you know, I think that police officer was overly, way out of bounds, overly aggressive. And Dante Wright, that's just a tragic accident. That's a tragedy. That's a tragic accident. I don't think Officer Potter meant to kill that boy. And, of course, people are going to ask, well, why did you pull out it? How did you think that your gun was your taser? I mean, things happen. They do. We don't live in a perfect world, people. Do I think she belongs in jail? No. It was a horrible accident. It was a mistake she made. But it does tell me that she should not be a police officer. And she did the right thing by quitting. They probably would have fired her anyway. But do I believe she belongs in jail? No. Now, I'm just saying, folks. Now, I'm gonna mention something else, too, and then I'm going to get my phones. You all hold on. Here's another, and I'm going to show you all how the media likes to spin the news, because we had another incident in South Carolina, and I saw the video to this one, too. Fort Jackson military leaders have decided to suspend the soldier accused of assaulting a man outside of his Richland County, South Carolina home. And I'm getting this on MSN News. Sergeant First Class Jonathan Pentland has been suspended from his instructor duties on the base while his case is being investigated. Pentland was charged with third degree assault and battery for shoving a young black man. Of course, they're going to tell you, they're not going to say a young man, they're going to say a young black man, walking in front of his home in the Summit neighborhood. He was arrested Wednesday morning. Soldier conduct on and off duty must be exemplary to retain the trust of our communities and our nation, said Fort Jackson Commander Brigadier General Milford Beagle Jr. Fort Jackson continues to work with and support Sheriff Lott, our local law enforcement professionals and community and civil leadership as this case moves forward. Now, let me tell you all what this is about. I saw the video, and the video started off this sergeant was in this black boy's face, telling him, get out of here. And this kid, I don't know, he looked like he may have been maybe a teenager or maybe in his early 20s. And at one point in the video, the sergeant pushes him, shoves him, says, get out of this neighborhood. Get out of here. We don't want you here. And they even asked him, said, do you live here? Do you live? And the boy was like, yeah, I live over there. Couldn't even tell him where he lived. Now, because we don't know why that sergeant was in this boy's face, because, see, they started off with the sergeant already in his face. We don't know what led up to that. But, of course, our faithful news media, they presented this clip to us in order to confirm the fact that a black person, and when I say confirm, I use that term very loosely, that a black person walking through a white neighborhood is going to find himself in trouble with those neighbors, because black people can't walk through a white neighborhood because white people don't want black people in their neighborhood. Now, some of the police officials said this kid has been involved with something in that neighborhood, and they said it didn't have anything to do with why the sergeant was in his face. Now, I don't know that. I don't know why counter occurred, because they just show you the clip of this big white guy in this black guy's face. And that just makes you, yeah, see, I told you, see, a black person can't walk through a white neighborhood. See, and even if all the evidence comes out that that's not what the case was in this case, people will still use this as a way to say, see, you see him, he's just walking through a white neighborhood. And these white people don't want him there. That's what they're trying to tattoo to your brain. That's what they're trying, that's the rhetoric that they're trying to push. That's the narrative they're trying to push, that if you are a black person walking through a white neighborhood, the white people, they're going to call the cops on you, or they're going to confront you in some way because they don't want you in their neighborhoods. I've never had a problem going through a white neighborhood. Never. What you doing here, boy? Little skin's a little dark to be walking through this neighborhood. I give you till my shotgun shell reaches your body to get out this neighborhood. You black N-word. But that's the media shows you that. And people are like, see, I told you. But we don't know why that sergeant was in that boy's face. Now, if you all have heard anything since then about why that sergeant was in that boy's face, please let me know. Because I'm not going to jump to conclusions with this. You know, a lot of people, they'll see this and they'll say, he was attacking that boy because he was black. I'm thinking the boy may have done something to set some people off, and that's why that sergeant was in his face. But we don't know the story, so I'm not going to jump to conclusions and say, oh, this shows you that white people don't want black people in their neighborhoods. I'm not going to do that because I don't know. That's the reason why that man was in that boy's face. And the news media does this to us constantly on a daily basis. And a lot of us, we swallow this hook, line, and sinker without using critical thinking skills like, okay, what happened before this encounter began? But we'll just jump. We'll put the cart before the horse and say this was because that kid was black, because white people don't want us in their neighborhoods. Now, you can debate with me all you want to, but that's what I saw. The media just wanted to put this up because, you know, the media cares more about their ratings than they do about getting you the truth, because they know if they can start a riot or something like that, oh, man, their news program is going to go through the roof. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. But anyway, let me see if I can get my faithful callers on here. Okay, let me get this one because he was first. But, of course, you all know, before I do that, release the fruit bats. Oh! That's my food bat alarm now. If you're on my phone and you just want to come here and cause trouble and fire off with the character assassinations and add hominem attacks and straw man arguments and things of that sort, I will give you a word of warning to hang up right now because I'm not going to tolerate it. Okay. All right. I want mature discussions. You don't have to agree with me, but let's have a mature discussion. That's all I ask. Season your comments and your questions well with respect, okay? Or you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. Having said all that, let me get to the phones. Let me get this one because he was first. Hello, welcome to the show. As if I don't know who this is.
Yes, you do. And I can assure you, Brother Vince, I will not release the Kraken.
What's up, Sarge?
My man, what's up, man? Boy, if you give me a lot of food for thought and a lot of things to say, and I don't know if I'm be able to say it all, but I would like your permission to attempt to try.
Okay.
How you been doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. Well, not as good as should be. I'm feeling a little under the weather because of my allergies and everything, but I feel the same way you do because, you know, it seems like so much is coming at you as far as current events at light speed. It's like you don't have enough time to talk about everything that is coming at you. And it's like, my gosh, I mean, you know, and I had to rearrange my show today in order to fit a lot of this stuff in. And I don't think I'm still going to get everything in that I wanted to get in today.
Brother, I share your consternation because, as you put it quite aptly, it's not light speed, sir. It is warp speed. They are these lunatics are on a mission, as they see, from their God, which is really Satan. And for their Satan has ordered them to fundamentally transform and destroy this very culture, civilization, and at the very least, this constitutional republic. But look, I'd like to start with what you came up with last, the story about this drill sergeant, Fort Jackson. The drill sergeant's name is Jonathan Pentland. The young black man's only been identified as DeAndre. DeAndre has been confined and committed to a facility near Fort Jackson following this incident. Apparently, he had been facing charges of trespass and animal cruelty from different incidents. And he had been behaving bizarrely and alarmed many of the residents in the community. This is what led to Sergeant Pentland confronting him. Now, I'm not saying he did everything properly, but there is a context in which he did it, which this propagandistic news media is doing its best to make it look like it's purely a racial incident of probably an extremist white soldier that the United States Armed Forces is trying to purge itself of, confronting a black man for no good reason, just innocently walking through the neighborhood. Remember what Project Veritas just revealed to us, that they deliberately cultivate propaganda on behalf of the left. They literally make stories up to further the agenda of the Democrats and these progressive Marxists like by large mansions, Black Lives Matter, organizations and outfits like them. Man, this is a disgrace, man. Man, I'm just getting started with these people. The Republic is in the direst threat to its liberties and its constitutional basis that I've ever seen in my life, and I'm including from the Soviet Union. These people are infinitely worse than the North Vietnamese Viet Cong ever dreamed of being. The Islamists ain't got a thing on these people, and there many of them are our fellow citizens and have the right to vote. I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. And we better take it seriously. Look, I know I'm just getting started, man. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to take over your show or nothing, but man, it's serious out here. Can I start with that story about that butter bar Lieutenant Nazario?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Look, man, Now, I don't precisely agree with you on your assessment of the balance between the stupidity of the two parties involved. There was stupidity on both sides, the police officers and the lieutenant. But if I'm going to weight the stupidity, I'm going to give 60 to 70% to the idiotic lieutenant and 30% to the coppers. And here's what it is. Now, would you care to venture as to how many stupid but lawful orders that this Butterbar second lieutenant has given or will give in his military career? Now, I'll bet you more than just a few. But that lieutenant would expect those orders to be obeyed, and he might even consider recommending a court-martial or an Article 15 for a subordinate who did not obey him. Now, look, you know me, man. I was 4 years on active duty to include combat tour in Vietnam. The rest of the time, 22 years, I spent in the National Guard, the Army National Guard. I left as a master sergeant. You know, I was a state police officer, too. And while I was with the National Guard, I was with an Army unit and a military police battalion. So, you know, I kind of seen the spectrum of this stuff. You know what I mean? Now, even the very best of officers I served under, and I served under some damn fine officers, whom I respect enormously, sometimes they would give ill-considered and dumbass orders. You know, that goes with the territory of being a fallible human being. Now, tell me something. If you could conduct a seance with General George S. Patton, Jr., I bet you he'd express his regrets over having something called the raid on Hammelburg. And if you don't know anything about it, you ought to look it up. It's a very interesting story. He would say, man, that was a stupid thing to do. But it was a lawful order when he gave it. Now, look, no matter what, at the moment of confrontation with them coppers, it was incumbent upon an Army officer who should understand the meaning of a lawful or stupid order to comply with them as best he can. And yes, some of them were conflicting, but you still comply with them as best you can and then sort out the wrongdoing afterward, like you put it. His behavior was as silly as anything them cops did, especially when he told me not to get out of the car for a traffic violation or order. He's playing jailhouse lawyer, sitting up there with his little butter bar ass. Now, if I was this dummy CO, I would haul him on the carpet and reprimand him or sanction him as I remind him that the punitive articles in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he ain't no social justice warrior activist. He's a lieutenant officer in the United States Army, even if he is a butter bar. And the punitive articles of the UCMJ require a commissioned officer to publicly comport himself at all times in a manner consistent with the dignified behavior that is expected of them. Like, if you don't, then you may have violated Articles 92, Article 133, and Article 134, the catch-all punitive article. But, you know, we living in the woke armed forces. This is the time of the woke armed forces. They might just get a dude a Medal of Honor. Now, look, I'm not surprised that this officer department decided to fire him, you know, given the current political climate and the moral cowardice of police and political leadership. I don't think he should have been fired. Bended, maybe. Letter of reprimand, maybe. But firing, hell no. How many times do you have to disobey a lawful, even if it's stupid, order and get out the damn car? They asked him to get out. They ordered him out of the car, not asked. Ordered him out of the car at least 12 times by my count. What did I do? And by the way, when you see him setting up his little live stream camera so he could create his little incident, he looked as calm as a baby in the crib sleeping. He didn't look scared to me. He didn't look a bit scared to me. He tried. He figured he was going to get him a few minutes of fame and be a... Because look, right now the Army is undergoing a purge, man. It's like the Stalinist purge the Red Army did in 1937 with Joe Stalin. They're getting all the ideologically unreliable soldiers out of the ranks. And this guy's catching a whiff of that climate, and he decided he was going to take advantage of it to become a little reliable social justice warrior soldier. He's probably a little rat. Probably. After watching the way he behaved there, man, I swear to God, I would not want to be under that officer's command. To make matters worse, listen to me, Vince. This is even worse. The sergeant major of the Army, a mixed-race black man, I might add, and I'm only adding that because everything is racial these days, a mixed-race, but sergeant major of the Army, for God's sake, said, you know what he said in a Twitter, in a tweet? So, let me remind you again, sir. This man is the sergeant major of the United States Army, the highest-ranking enlisted man in the United States Army. You know what he said about this officer? He said he was proud of the professional manner in which he – and calm manner in which he comported himself. That asshole, and that's what I'm calling him, has just undermined every single military policeman in the United States Army. What,
now,
you don't think military policemen order people out of their cars?
Now, see, I didn't know that. And see, just like you said, by him being a lieutenant in the Army, he should understand following orders. You know, I mean, that should come.
Orders, even if they're stupid.
Yeah. He should understand following orders. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
But wait a minute, he's subject, you know, this armed force has gone woke. There ain't no, a commanding officer who does the right thing, which would be traditionally be the right thing, to call this little fool on the carpet and say, Lieutenant, you better straighten up and fly right. I might let you off with some slack. I might let you off with a letter of reprimand. I might even, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. But right now, I want you to go back to you are under house arrest or something, you're under arrest, because that's what they call it there. They call it detention if you're like a military policeman detaining somebody. But officer, they tell them you're under arrest, and you go back to the barracks. That means you go back and you're honored to stay where you're told to stay. And go back and think about what you've done. You maybe need to reform yourself for your future career because you did not reflect well on the Army and its current state of discipline and morale.
No, he didn't.
Your actions did not bring credit upon the armed forces.
Yep. He certainly
did. And again,
I
think the cops were overbearing, and I think it would be entirely inappropriate to provide them with some guidance, discipline, reprimand, suspension. I don't think he should have been fired. I think that's all political cowardice right now. The police cannot make a mistake. They can't be human. They just can't be anymore.
You got a point there, though. You got a good point there, though. And I was saying, hey, maybe he should have been fired. But, I'm starting to think, you know, along your lines, because he was fired because of some political correct wokeness, you know. And I believe that would have happened to Officer Potter, too. If she had stayed on, because, you know, we can't have this. We can't have this wokeness, you know. And this, I'm sick of this wokeness. I'm just sick and tired of it.
Oh, man, God, it's insidious, man.
It's crazy.
Absolutely Orwellian, Vince. It's Orwellian.
Yeah.
I mean, it is monstrous the way they literally come up here and thought polices every waking moment of the day. And by the way, with regard to this Officer Potter, I do have a disagreement with you there because I'm sorry, her actions were so negligent, and the consequences of her negligence, and that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you. She was completely accidental. But it was so extremely negligent that it deserves adjudication at the very least. At the very least. Because it was hideously negligent. And let me tell you why. See, remember, I was a firearms and use of force instructor. I instructed tasers, pepper spray, firearms, automatic weapons, shotguns, the whole gamut, hand-to-hand defensive tactics, everything. That was my job, and I did it out of my 26 years as a police officer. I did it for 12. So, I mean, I've studied hundreds, if not thousands, of police shootings and police-involved use of force in order to create training packages. Hundreds and thousands of them. There's a phenomenon in police work. And I experienced it as a combat soldier, as a police officer, particularly on high-speed pursuits and other things. You know, it's called tachypsychia and target fixation. And it was something I had to regularly instruct my cadets to be aware of so they could account for it when they got into life and death and stressful situations. Here's what tachypsychia is. It causes time seeming to slow down and speed up at the same time. It causes you... naturally, your heart rate to accelerate and, you know, your breathing to rapidly increase and your vision narrows to pinpoint vision, like you fixate with a pinpoint on whatever the focus of the threat is. I don't know how many times I've taken reports from victims of armed robbery, and they say all I could see was that big muzzle-loaded gun. And, you know, they're describing like a 105-millimeter howitzer or something. And then when you catch the perpetrator and the gun he used, it was a 22 handgun.
Yeah.
You know, but for the victim, it looked massive. And that's what they said. The barrel was so big, even when it isn't big. And when it's big, it's even bigger. But they fixate on it. It's called tachypsychia. And everything gets distorted. You exclude certain auditory sounds. I mean, that is the sound. But you exclude auditory sensations and impulses. And other factors, your peripheral vision really shrinks. As I said, you pinpoint your vision. And that is a danger because you need to be aware of your peripheral vision, particularly when you're doing a high-speed pursuit or you're in an encounter with an armed defender, because you need to know if he's got any Confederates who are closing in on you or if other circumstances are intervening, like a child running across the path just as you're getting a sight picture to pull the trigger on this guy, that you might have to pull yourself short. That's why I was kind of saying, be aware of the phenomenon of tachypsychia. And then there's target fixation. You may or may not have read about, like, a World War II fighter pilot or a dive bomber on a pilot on a target, and he's so fixated on getting that target, the enemy's in a dive, he's already killed the pilot, the plane appears to be still under control, he's still shooting at the target, diving in there, and he follows it right into the ground, you know, because he's got target fixation. He can't think of anything else but getting the target. Here's what I think happened to Kim Potter. I think she, remember, I think she was using an X-26 taser. An X-26 taser, most of them are now are bright yellow. And even if they're not, they've got a display on the back of them with red lights that light up. And they start to beep when they're about to discharge. Now, if you bring it up to eye level, normally you're going to notice all that. I mean, they weigh one-third as much as your Glock does, Glock 22, which is what I think she was carrying. They weigh one-third as much. But I think she had tachypsychia to the extent where all other factors were excluded. She panicked. She shouldn't have panicked. Yeah. It wasn't a life and death situation. She didn't have the presence of mind, apparently, not to panic. It was just a brawl. I've been in a lot of brawls. Yeah, my adrenaline goes up, but I don't know how many brawls I was in as a police officer, but it was a brawl. It's not the same thing as life and death. You know you're going hand-in-hand with this guy, but if you're confident, you're physically certain, you work out regularly, you fight, you can deal with it. But she apparently couldn't. I think she lost it because that tacky psyche overwhelmed her. Now, if that's true, let her bring it all up in court. Maybe the judge will take all the stuff into mitigation and just give her a probation or something. I'm not saying the woman needs to be lynched or hanged, but for God's sake, Vince, I think this thing needs to be adjudicated. It is an extreme case of negligence.
Okay,
and I understand
how
it could happen. I explained
this.
It to you. I understand how this woman got caught up by her own negligence. I understand it completely. That's why I trained my officers to be aware of it and to try to exclude it to their detriment. But you cannot let something this negligent go without at least adjudicating it. It doesn't look good for the public. Public expects better of its officers.
Yeah, and you know about this more than I do because I've never been in police. I've never been a police officer or been in the military. So, you know, I had to accept you on that because you know a lot more about this than I do.
I've experienced it several times, sir.
Yeah.
I remember one high speed pursuit, man, we were almost running red lights and I was getting broadsided going through the intersection. I was getting tachypsychia. I had to slap myself because I knew it was happening. It happened to me as an infantryman, and you know, and I know how I can get, and it's not good. You miss things.
Yeah, and that happened to me a few times.
And you really need to be able to look out of both sides of your eyes when you're in a high speed pursuit, which is why I just saw some Forsyth, Georgia County deputies do the most magnificent professional high-speed pursuit. The guy who was calling that pursuit was absolutely calm, like he was sitting in his living room and watching a movie, and he was calling that pursuit, man, just as professionally and calmly as could be. And he performed a beautiful pit maneuver, brought these guys under control. It's out there on the web. They were from Chicago.
Yeah.
There were multiple felons. They had guns, Glocks, drum magazines all up in the car and everything else. And they said they were just there on vacation. And they ran from the police when they got called suspicious car in the lot. Now, of course, I guess they said, let's pull them because they just pulled young black men in the car. Well, when the black officer got out and told them to stay in the car, that's when they took off, and that's when the pursuit was on. And, boy, those sheriffs handled it as professionally and beautifully as any cops I've ever seen. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised they had a lot of training in the effects of tachycycia because it didn't seem to bother them a bit.
Yeah. Well, let me pause you right there. I'm going to get this other caller on here, but I'm going to keep you on.
Sure thing, boss.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing today?
What's up, dude?
I'm just letting you know, y'all, you're getting ready to get some iridelitis on your show this evening. Because first thing, I can't stand the cops. I'm not saying all cops are bad, but I've dealt with some raw issues with them. And they suck. And we need to hire people to protect us from the cops. We're supposed to be out here protecting and serving us. And another thing, cops' first job is to look out for us. I'm just going to say that right out there. Look out for us. If I had a gun in my possession, legal, of course, I'd be scared, concerned about going in my glove compartment if he stopped me on a basic traffic stop, because I would tell the cop, quote, when he asked me why I don't want to comply, because y'all are trigger happy. You might shoot me just trying to go into my glove compartment to get whatever stuff I need. So you go in there and get it, and I'm just going to step aside. I am through. Hello?
Okay, you finished your statement?
Oh, I finished my statement. I'm finished.
Okay. All right. Thank you there, Iredale. And folks, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There have been things that have happened that make me question the police and their motives and everything. You got those bad apples out there. But here's the thing about me. In every profession, you're going to have your good people and you're going to have your bad people. And my thing is, let's not try to judge everybody based on the actions of a few, which is what a lot of people do anyway. Me, I'm still supportive of the police, but, you know, certain things that have happened, it makes you like, makes it harder for you to, it makes it a little bit harder for you to support them, you know, but they are there to do a job. And a lot of them do act professional, you know, but we can't just, you know, say, all police officers are bad. You know, they do have a job to do. And I respect them. I do. I respect them. When they come, they say, hey, Mr. Brown, you know, your taillight is out or something like that and whatever. But I had to disagree with you a little bit, Iredale, because not all cops are trigger happy. Not all of them are like that. You do have them out there, but not all of them are trigger happy, you know. And the officer in this case with the right boy, I think she was a little trigger happy. I'll be honest with you. I think she was trigger happy, but it's not the majority of them.
No, I if I came out the wrong way, I'm not saying that all of them are bad. You know, you got good and bad in every profession.
Yeah. And I understand where you're coming from, because I understand where you're coming from, because you and I have talked about this back and forth so many times, you know. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm not trying to say, well, he shouldn't be thinking like that. I ain't trying to do that. No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
to, yeah. Yeah. I ain't trying to do that.
We are good.
But you got anything else to add, Sarge? Is Sarge still here? Oh, his line is still open. But while I'm trying to get Sarge back on, I wanted to talk about this other case that happened outside of Chicago. And this right here is a trip. And this right here tells you that there are a lot of people out there who are not being parents. They're just being machines to push out children, but they don't want to be parents to these children. We had another incident in Chicago where this 13-year-old kid got shot and killed by the police. And, of course, people were here, okay, 13-year-old kid shot by police. He was Hispanic, police officer, racist. But some questions got to come into your mind. First of all, why was this kid who was 13 years old roaming the streets at about 2:30 in the morning with another person who was not his parent, and his companion who was with him fired into the air with his gun 8 times? Now, when they caught this kid, the police chased him down the alley, and the kid just stopped. What he was trying to do was try to throw his gun over the fence. But the police officer mistook it for the kid pulling out a gun to get ready to fire. Now, folks, in a situation like that, you only have a split second to respond. Now, a lot of times people blame the police in this instance and say, oh, well, the kid was unarmed. No, he wasn't unarmed. But if the kid had just stood there and said, okay, officer, hey, I got a gun right here. Let me put my gun down. But he made a sudden movement to throw the gun over the fence, and that's when he got shot. Now, my question would be this. Why, and I'll ask it again, why in the world was this kid outside at 2 a.m. in the morning? And it brings up another case that I talked about several years ago. This case in 2016, some girls down in Florida. The oldest was 16. The other two were 15. They were out at 4 a.m. in the morning. It was a school night. Them girls should have been at home getting ready to go to school the next day. And these girls are out hanging around out in the street. And so this guy gives them a ride. But before he takes them home, he stops by a Walmart saying he got to get a TV. While he was inside the Walmart, these girls decided, hey, let's steal his car. So the dude comes out, sees his car is gone. He calls the police, gives them a tag number and everything, and the police notice the car, and so they give pursuit to the car. And these girls ran from the police. And not only that, they try to get away from the police. They went into a graveyard, and the chase ended up in a pond. Now, if anybody knows anything about Florida, Florida has a lot of these ponds around, especially on the peninsula over there where Miami and Tampa and all that area is. And these girls went into a pond, and they ended up drowning. People wanted to blame the police for the deaths of these girls, and one of their lawyers even said, well, these girls stole a car, but it shouldn't have been a death penalty. They did not die. The police did not kill these girls because they stole a car. These girls were stupid enough to run from the police. And then not only that, apparently they didn't have swim lessons because no one ever told them, say, hey, we're in water. Let's open the doors and let's swim back to the shore. But instead of blaming the girls, their parents wanted to insinuate that, hey, it's a cop's fault. They didn't go into that. They didn't go and save those girls because them girls were black. Now, if anybody knows anything about Florida, there are two things Florida is known for as far as wildlife. They're known for venomous snakes and alligators. And this pond, I think, was about 20 feet deep. It was about 20 feet deep. And the officers started to go into the pond, but it was so choked with mud and weeds, they were like, it's not even worth the risk. They said they could even hear the girls screaming as the car went down. But none of them girls had the intuition to open up the door and say, okay, let's try to swim for it. When they pulled the car out the next day, those girls' bodies were still in that car. The car doors hadn't even been opened. But their parents, of course, no fathers around, but their parents wanted to get up there and try to make their girls out to be these little sweet little girls and whatever. One of the parents said, "Yeah, I know my daughter. She's been arrested for stealing cars before, but she's past that now." And someone asked her, said, "Well, she stole this car. How many cars has she stolen?" And the mother gonna make a stupid statement like, "It doesn't matter how many cars she stole. It matters how many cars she didn't steal." But your little son's daughter stole the car, met the consequences of her actions, but you wanted to blame the police. And the police officer made a very brilliant statement. He said, you know, this is a case of people who call themselves parents, but they don't want to be parents. And I said, amen, police officer. But everybody wants to point the blame at the police officer all the time because their little schnookums met up with a untimely death because of something stupid that they did. And then you had a grandmother coming up talking about, oh, well, how in the world could they have stolen a car if the keys were in the car? Well, idiot grandmother, if the man didn't tell them to drive the car and they drove the car away without him in it, they stole the car. And the lawyer's still getting up there saying, well, all the evidence we have shows that car was not stolen. It was stolen. The girl stole the car. That's why they're dead now. And they wanted to say, oh, well, they shouldn't have gotten a death penalty because they stole the car. They didn't get a death penalty because they stole the car. Their deaths are on their heads, not the police. And this is the type of rhetoric that the news media wants to, they want to form this to make it like, hey, you know, police officers are racist because they won't do the same thing they would do for a white person. If it was white children, they would have gone into that water and probably just dived to the bottom and got them out of that car. But because they were black, and see, they don't have no evidence for that. They have absolutely no evidence to show that these cops held back because, oh, they're black. Let them go. And see, this is how these incidents are being this is how the media is trying to portray a lot of these incidents, that these cops are doing this to black people. And because a lot of us, we don't get our news from different sources. We only get it from like one source. And when we see an incident like this, it emblazons on our minds that, oh, man, this happens all the time. And we jump to conclusions by saying the police wouldn't do this if the person was white, but they have no evidence for that. And I know I sound a little redundant by saying this, but these are points that need to be repeated because we got so many people who, they're stupid. I'll just say that. They're stupid because they'll believe anything. And then when something like this does happen to a white person and it does make it to the news, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll just brush over that. It doesn't matter. But black person, okay, let's get out here. Let's riot. Let's burn down businesses. Let's attack random citizens who had nothing to do with this incident. And then we'll sit there and say, oh, they're doing that because they're scared. Scared? Why are you going to burn down someone's business because you're scared? That's stupid. You know, I mean, I tell you, And you know, I get speechless sometimes because this happens so many. And I was just telling my wife last weekend, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, these rascals, they are waiting for their next big incident involving a white police officer and a black person so they can get that money rolling again. And I think it was like a day later when Dante Wright was tragically killed. And yes, I have to agree with Sarge. That was negligent on the part of the female police officer. It was negligent. And, you know, and see me, I'll admit when I'm wrong about something. But that was negligent. And he said it needs to be adjudicated. Yeah, yeah, he's probably correct on that, you know, because he knows about this more than I do. Now, yeah, I would give her some probation, maybe something like that, but it was negligent. And really, a person like that should not be on the police force, even though she's been there for 26 years. But it was an accident. She didn't kill him because he was black. I don't think she had any intention of killing him. But, of course, the powers that be, the apostles of blackness, they want to get up there and say, oh, they killed him because he was black. His grandmother, I think it was his grandmother, said he got killed because he had an air freshener on his rearview mirror. Because I think there are some states, I'm not sure about that. I wish I could get Sarge back on here. But you got some states that they have a law saying you can't have an air freshener. I'm not sure about that, but I think I heard something to that effect. Let me see here. Let me get this caller here. I only got a few minutes. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, man. I thought I endured the curse of the fruit bat, but I lost my internet connection.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, you didn't suffer the curse on the fruit bat.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that I didn't. Boy. But, you know, but look, I was about to say, you know, when your caller was talking about, you know, he didn't like the cops and all the stuff, and he's going to understand people be scared of the cops and all. Yeah, okay. You know what? Let me tell you something about that Lieutenant Nazario thing. Now, look, I don't know of any police officer, I mean any, who is going to, after ascertaining this person is not just wearing a costume and is actually a member of the armed forces, even a reservist or a National Guardsman, after ascertaining this person is a member of the armed forces, any branch is going to get him for some relatively low target thing like a tag violation, a failure to display a tag properly, or, you know, maybe rolling through a stop sign, something. They're only gonna jack you up if you DUI, or if you are wanted on a warrant, or for some serious violation of traffic law, or if you do like this idiotic lieutenant did. I don't know if any police officer is gonna jack up a member of their own, because most of police officers are veterans themselves, and we understand there is no more important job in the federal government than people who are in the armed forces. And we all understand that they sacrifice rights that we have as civilians in order to be members of the armed forces. They ain't got no protection against unreasonable search and seizure when a company commander orders a surprise inspection. They ain't got no right to a free speech. You can't get up in the mess hall and say, my company commander is an idiot, and he ought to be disarmably discharged, and I'd like to beat his behind. You go to the stockade. You ain't going to write a free speech. You won't just get fired. You'll get court-martialed and go to the stockade. You ain't even got no right to keep and bear arms if they tell you you don't.
Yeah.
They tell you
don't.
You got a privately owned gun, you got to keep in the company arms room or approved facility on the post. And if they tell you to keep your gun with you, you better keep it with you 24 hours a day. If they catch you without it, you can get disciplined. You lose all kind of rights when you go in the armed forces that the rest of us take for granted. Do you think any cop, self-respecting cop, is going to jack up a member of the armed force of any color just for some simple little job? I guarantee you they're about as scarce as hen's teeth. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have got jacked up. He had nothing reason to be scared. None, and he probably knew it. I'm telling you, I watched his face when he set up that live stream. That clown wanted to be
too.
A social justice warrior and get 15 minutes of fame.
Yep, that exactly, because he knew, you know, all this, because all this about George Floyd is still going around. He's like, hey, you know what? Let me put this up, you know, show people there's an example here, you know.
Yeah, but Vince, I got something else I'd like you to consider that really is burning in my craw right now. I swear to God. Now, people, when they demand accountability as to why police officers take actions against citizens, that is a completely proper. It is absolutely incumbent and vital and necessary and must be done, particularly when a police officer kills a citizen, for the department and that officer to be held to account for it and to explain their actions completely and explain how that killing is done in compliance with the law, the Constitution, and even morality and ethics. So I don't have any problem with anybody demanding an explanation from the police. Hell, I do it. That's one of the reasons I like being a use of force instructor, because I told them you have a moral imperative to use this gun, not only in a legal and constitutional manner, but a moral one as well, ethically and morally too. That's why you've been given this authority by the people. People give you this authority and this power, and you cannot exercise it lightly. It is a violation of the trust that they put in you, and they give you the badge. Now, that's why I am so damn pissed about why we don't even know after all these months who was the police officer who killed Ashley Babbitt in the Capitol, and why they haven't given us an explanation as to that conduct, not even from the department. There's not been an official explanation yet, and they just dropped the case. They said there is no reason to pursue charges against that person, that man, when I'm certain it was a man, that shot Ashley Babbitt. And I'm not even saying he wasn't justified. I don't know. I haven't heard the reason. I want to hear it officially from them. Then I want to look at what evidence has been released, and I want to line that up with whether or not what that man did was proper or not. And I really suspect it isn't.
Have
you ever seen anything like this? It had to be one of the most public killings by a police officer in the United States in recent memory.
Yeah.
In the Capitol.
Well, you know why.
Right there on the
Capitol.
I know why. She was deplorable and a Trump supporter, and she didn't deserve to live.
Yep, exactly. That's
what I believe now, given the way they're acting with this.
Yep.
and I've heard rumors published at the Gateway Pundit and some other places that the one who shot her was a lieutenant named Michael Byrd. Now, Michael Byrd made headlines not too long ago because he left his gun in a restroom. And in a security sweep, they found his gun in a bathroom. I don't even think he got any disciplinary action over it. He's a Jamaican immigrant, I think, who got naturalized and got on the Capitol Hill Police Force.
Okay.
You think there might be a little bit of political correctness going on here, protecting him like they wouldn't protect any other police officer who killed a citizen? And they didn't have to count for
it? I think it's politics. Yep. It's straight up politics, man. It's straight up politics. That's the only
reason. Never seen anything like this.
Yeah. Because if that had been a white police officer shooting someone at a Black Lives Matter rally, oh, my goodness. Oh, man, we'd be calling for his head right now.
How long does it take us in most of these cases to discover the name of the police officer? I remember when they waited a week in one case, in some local case, people were howling about, why are you protecting us and why can't we know who did this? A week. It's been months. We don't even know the name of this person, much less the motivation.
Yeah.
This is like police state, secret police stuff. This is like the Soviet Union taking all them Polish intelligentsia and officers and clergy and educators out in the Katyn forest and putting a bullet in the back of their head. Nobody has to know why they did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and oh man, I tell you, I'm in the archives right now. But
she was a veteran. She was an honorably discharged veteran of the United States Air Force, on top of just being a citizen. which is enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care if she was a skid row bum. I want to know why someone whose authority they did in our name killed a citizen. That's all. Even if it's justified, we still have the right to know.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know what? We're not going to we probably will never find out. And even if
well,
we do,
family's
it,
doing.
Probably,
I hope they find out. I do.
Yeah, I certainly do too. And that's something to really pray for that justice is served. Now, you want to talk about an abolition of justice? Now, that's what this case is right here. And Ms. Babbitt, she definitely needs justice. Her family needs justice to be served in this case. But of course, she was a white Trump supporter, so whatever.
Horrible. She was not. She was a deplorable baby.
Yeah, she was a deplorable. Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something, man. Look. Okay, I would think it would be proper to charge her with tumultuous behavior and riotous behavior and trespassing on Capitol grounds and all that. But I swear to God, I didn't know the penalty for those things was death. I really didn't know that.
Yeah,
now, there's
exactly.
another justifiable reason for that man, some imminent threat to him or somebody else's life, with her carrying a sweater in her backpack and a scarf. Maybe he thought she was a bomber. Maybe he thought she had an IED in her back. I don't know. Would you tell us, please?
I mean, really, yeah.
They won't tell us. The arrogance of the federal government in this regard is breathtaking, and the silence by the vitiate Republicans who ought to know better, and we know the Democrats ain't interested in finding the truth about it. We know this. The progressive movement certainly isn't. Now all of a sudden police don't need to be held accountable because, you know, they were insurrectionists and Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Man,
exactly.
this is how you get police states. This is how you get police states, when you apply these differential standards that are blatant. God.
Yeah, it really is nerve wracking, and it's a lot. We have to. I don't know why the word consider came in my mind. It's a lot we have to unpack here, and you know, like I said earlier, everything is coming at light speed, but you say warp speed, which I like that better. everything is coming at warp speed, and it's so much. It really is so much to unpack. And it's like, oh, my goodness, and it's like before you can get your mind straight on one incident, here comes another. You know, it's crazy, man.
Vince, I'm sorry to be blowing up so much here, but I swear to God, I have never seen my country in more peril than I see it right now. Now, we were told that the election of the senile old goat and that laughing, cackling hen he calls a vice president who ain't even a natural-born citizen. You know, I mean, is she the Joker or a vice president? What is she?
I mean,
asking one of the serious questions, cackling and giggling. But anyway, you know, I'm saying to myself, they say, we elect him, we're going to get back to normalcy. Okay? Here's normalcy for the rats, the Democrats, a pack the Supreme Court. Federalize elections that the Constitution says must not be federalized. Article 2, Section 3 says they are the province of the states. And now the Democrats are going to pass a law that's going to federalize the elections that the Constitution says can't be. Then they want to open the borders up and reward illegal aliens with cash money for breaking our immigration laws. We don't even know where they are. Even many of them testing positive for COVID, the holy grail of isolation and lockdown, and let them into the country with our taxpayer money for their airplane tickets, and they go God knows where. But we're told all that's part of just going back to normalcy. Reparations for slavery, a D.C. statehood, Puerto Rico statehood, two of the most corrupt entities in the Commonwealth. Ban the Electoral College, confiscate guns, purge the armed forces of what they say are extremists, and then tell us we're getting back to normalcy. Hey, Vince, you know what this is like? War is peace. Slavery is freedom, and we've always been at war with East Asia. These people are lunatics.
I mean, really. Yeah.
It's Orwellian, man.
it's well, before I say anything else, or before I go, I would recommend people read the book 1984. I don't think that book
and
has been
Animal
more
Farm.
Relevant. And Animal Farm. I read Animal Farm in the 10th grade, and boy, it was like, wow. Okay.
More relevant now than ever. Remember, a buy
yeah,
larger
more,
mansion.
Yeah.
That should be the new name for BLM.
For BLM, I like that one, man. I like that. I got to use that one. I got to use. I never would have thought of that. Buy
spread
larger
spread it
mansion.
Widely, sir. Please use it wherever you can.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? She's actually being true to her Marxist roots. She actually is, if you stop to think
she
about
is.
It, because that's what Marxists do. They take from people and give it to others to whom it does not belong. She is being a true Marxist, from each according to his abilities, to each according to whether they're kin to a Politburo member or a member of the nomenclatura and have their eye on a four-bedroom mansion. Hey, that's Marxism, American style.
Yeah, I like that. But, Sarge, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm in the archives right now, but it's always been a pleasure. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for letting me vent, man. I really appreciate it.
And,
man, I got a lot to on my chest.
Because you and I, we feel like venting today all together. Is my buddy Iredale still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I'm going to get ready to close out the show next week. I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. I don't know what the topic's going to be, but you never know. I could probably pick up on one the way the current events is happening today. I could just pick one out. Oh, you know, I might talk about the Confederate flag next week, because I saw a video today about the Confederate flag, and I might talk about that next week, depending on how the news cycle goes next week. But if it's a slow news cycle, we'll be talking about the Confederate flag. There's some things I want to say about that. But anyway, let me go ahead and close this show out. You guys have a good Saturday. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.
You too, boss. Nice talking to you.
You too, man. We'll be right back.
accused of trespassing and cruelty to the animals. But listen, they just want to show you this kid being attacked by this white guy. See, that's crazy, man.
I'm not tired.